minutes in prayer. Gracious Father, we certainly love you, Lord, with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all that is within us. And Father, knowing that we are at the end time, the end of days, we want to know, Father, what this means. And so, Father, we thank you for opening up to us many things concerning this end time. And looking at and focusing on your word, your promises, O God, because we know that the promises, some are for us, some are for the world. But the ones that are for us, Father, we want to focus on them, just like Abraham focused on the promise for him. Just like the saints throughout all the ages who have had their eyes opened up to the day and the hour in which they live, and that portion of your word that was for that day. Help us also, Father, to reckon ourselves not only subject to that word, but part of that word. And knowing, Father, that as we receive your Holy Spirit in us, we're receiving your word and your spirit, your life. For Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. We ask you now, Father, to open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, to what you would have us to know. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to start a little mini-series within the unveiling of God. And I'm calling it the end time events. The end of all things has come. So we're going to be looking at the end time events, the end time signs and events, just like we looked at the all the identifiable characteristics of the parousia of Christ, the presence of Christ, and all the signs and events that went with that. So this morning we're going to begin our thoughts by reading from paragraph 43 of Brother Branham's sermon, The Unveiling of God, where he says, like Abraham could not see that son, no sign, no pregnancy of Sarah, not even any menstruation period or anything, but yet God said so. Now, if you just stop and think about just that one sentence that he said. He's saying, in spite of all the lack of circumstantial evidence, he had a promise from God. In spite of all the lack of circumstantial evidence, we have a promise of a rapture. We have a promise of deliverance. A promise of getting out of this pest house. Sarah, not even any menstruation period or anything, but God said so. All hopes, even her womb, was dead, and his life in him was gone, and the stream of life had dried up, and her life had dried up within her. And yet he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise. Now he's quoting Paul there. Knowing that God was able to perform anything he said that he would do. That's the way we got to believe that word today. How is it going to be? I don't know. There's a vindicated prophet who received visions almost daily, and he says, I don't know. How's it going to be? I don't know. But God said it's going to be that way. And that settles it. Now, Brother Branham speaks of Abraham and how Abraham came to him before the coming of the promised son. And this story is just so amazing in itself because it shows that God who gave the promise must come to ensure that the promise becomes a reality and manifests itself in this dimension that we live. Why did God himself come down to ensure his promise to Abraham and Sarah? Because Abraham and Sarah were both dead as far as their life stream goes. They had absolutely nothing that they could possibly have done to make that promise come to pass. The promise was given to him at 75 years old, and Sarah was 65 years old. But that is why he is called the father of faith, because he trusted God to fulfill what God had promised. Therefore, remember and never forget, Jesus himself said, the Son can of himself do nothing, but whatsoever the Father doeth, that the Son doeth likewise. And for the bride of Christ to manifest as sons of God, we must first conform to the image of that firstborn son. And yet there is absolutely nothing we can do to perform in ourselves that can make that promise of God happen. All we can do is, like Jesus said, the Son can't do nothing but what the Father shows him. And when the Father shows you, then you step into that vision and you do. All right? All we can do is like Abraham, like Jesus did, and that is turn your eyes upon God's promise. The promise that he made for you. And when he shows us what to do, All we can do is step into that vision like our father Abraham did before us and hold on to the promised word for the hour in which we live and believe God regardless of the circumstances around us, because the circumstances are getting pretty dark. Then Brother Brown continues in paragraph 44 where he says, Who is this great unseen person? Who is this that Abraham seen visions? Right at last, though he was manifested in flesh before the sun came, God himself came to Abraham in the form of a man, at the end time manifested. He saw him in a little light one time, he saw him in visions. He heard his voice in many revelations. But just before the promised son, he saw him in the form of a man and talked to him and fed him meat and drink. See, notice, God himself veiled in human flesh. And you know what? We have done the same thing as Abraham in this hour. And just like Abraham before us, there is nothing else that we can possibly do to bring about the promise that God made for us. Nothing except to just let go and let God bring them to pass. In Matthew 16 and 1 we read, the Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempted him, desiring that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather, today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the time? They read the same Bible that we read. It's all in there, what is happening around us today. Only they fail to recognize the manifestation of what God said coming to pass in our day. That which we see happening in the Alpha, we also see happening all over again in the Omega. The people have become so trivialized through their watered-down social gospel until there is no more hungering and thirsting for the revealed word of God. In fact, are you aware that one of the 45 declared goals of the communist takeover of America is just that? Communist goal number 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Social religion, focus on the family. Focus on the family instead of focusing on God. You see? Communist goal number 28, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principles of separation of church and state. It doesn't take a genius to see that these two goals have already accomplished what they have in this country. So where does that leave the people? The answer is what Jesus told the Pharisees. He said, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. And I just wonder how many people alive today can. Therefore, let's look at the end time and the same conditions that existed during the time of Abraham, at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, when Sodom and Gomorrah was in its heyday. So let's take our sermon to Scripture this morning and begin our study of the end time signs and events, which constitutes the end time. And to do so, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 10, and verse 1 to 7. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, this is not just an isolated passage in the book of Revelations, but we will see by a quick search of the scriptures that this event is also mentioned in other scriptures as well. And as we begin to read from chapter 10 here, we see John is describing this one that come down. And if you notice that this one who comes down is a messenger, and that is the Greek word angelos, which meaning a messenger. Now, it was translated as angels. Of course, people think of angels as having wings and, you know, that kind of thing. But that word, angelos, is messenger. This is not an angel with wings as those that Jacob saw ascending up and down the ladder to heaven. But this one is described as a mighty angelos, a mighty messenger that come down from heaven. And John describes this mighty messenger when he says he is clothed with a cloud and a rainbow was upon his head and his face as it were the sun and his feet as pillars of fire. So we have come, we have some clothing which appears to be a cloud as well. That is the first thing. And the pillar of fire is also mentioned, which gives us a much greater clue yet of who this mighty messenger is. And the prophet Daniel saw the same mighty messenger wearing a white garment and also a white wig, which is also an article of his clothing. And he calls this one the Ancient of Days. In Daniel 7, verse 9, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was as white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Now notice, this Ancient of Days sat in judgment. He sat down, he says. Now notice, Daniel saw the Ancient of Days, which is God himself, wearing a white garment, which was white like snow, but also his hair was white as wool. And Daniel saw this judge of all the earth, the supreme judge, the same one Abraham met and called him the judge of all the earth. And you have all seen the pictures of the English judges who would all wear a white wig to represent supreme authority, the judicial dress in England and in China. These wigs are also still worn in many countries in Africa today, as you see in the pictures below. Now, John goes on with his description of this mighty or powerful messenger, as he says, and a rainbow was upon his head. Now, we know the rainbow is a symbol that God used to show forth his covenant to Noah. So this is the mighty angel of the covenant, which is God himself, because God is the covenant giver. From Brother Branham's sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, he said, that great angel of the covenant, that one who was with Moses in the wilderness, that one who came to Paul on the road to Damascus, that same one permitted his picture to be taken with us, the same one that was in the picture in the Life magazine, that's hanging up there on the wall, all right, the other day, the same word by the same God, through the same channels, by the same way, by the same promise, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst, then he's here. The angels of God are encamped about those who fear him. That hangs only to his word. No man can respect that word without fearing God. And from his sermon, I Will Restore, Brother Brown tells us, and any man who knows that the angel of the covenant was Jesus Christ, that's right, the same yesterday, today, and forever, God unfolded himself. That was God in that pillar of fire. And of course, if he is God and changes not, then what John is describing in the next few verses here, of course, he says that same pillar of fire, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. So it is God, the messenger of the covenant, which we see come down from heaven. So if we're going to look at end time studies, end time events, end time signs, this is the number one sign. God himself is on the scene. Therefore, this mighty messenger is none other than God himself, as the Apostle Paul also prophesied in 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the parousia, that is presence, of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, we see him do the same things in Revelations chapter 10, verse 2 to 3. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and he cried with a loud voice. Now notice, what do we call it when someone cries with a loud voice? A shout. As when a lion roars, notice. And if you take this, notice, he cried with a loud voice, which a loud voice is a shout, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4. As when a lion roareth, if you go to Amos 3 and 7 to 8, you'll see that a lion roaring is the voice of God as a prophet or in a prophetic ministry. In Amos 3 and 7, we read, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? And then John continues in Revelation 10 and 3 by telling us what he does. And when he had cried, in other words, when that loud voice had gone forth, that shout, and in the rapture message, Brother Brown tells us the shout is the message going forth. Then what? John continues, after this message has gone forth, then seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, questions and answers, Brother Brown told us that the thunders was the seals being opened. All right? He said the question was, Have the seven thunders, which equal seven mysteries, already been revealed? Were they revealed in the seven seals, but are yet known to us as thunders yet? Or yet not known unto us as thunders yet? No, they were revealed in the seven seals. That's what the thunders was about. They was to reveal. The seven thunders that had uttered their voices, and no one could make out what it was. John knew what it was, and he was forbidden to write it. He said, but the seventh angel in the days of his sounding, the seven mysteries of the seven thunders would be revealed, and the seventh angel is the messenger of the seventh church age. So as each seal was peeled off, there was a thunder sound, just a tremendous thunder. Now, back to Revelation 10, and we'll pick up at verse 4. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, when the seals had gone forth, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel, the mighty messenger of the covenant, God himself, which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. Who's that? It's God, the same one. Who created heavens and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, the earthly messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. So you have two messengers. You have an earthly angel and you have a heavenly angel. Most people get confused and they see only the earthly angel because they can see a man, they can see his flesh, but they don't realize that the heavenly angel is manipulating the earthly angel like a puppet. I mean, when God enters a prophet or uses a prophet, the prophet can't speak his own words. He can only say what God says. You see? As Christians, we have read this scripture for many years, but have you ever stopped to think for a minute what that really means? What does it mean, time shall be no more? What does that mean to you? Have any of you ever just sat there and dwelt on that and maybe made a list for yourself what that means? Yet we've seen this scripture already take place as God has come down. His great august presence has been very well established here on the earth, and the mystery of God, his godhood, his relationship to his firstborn son, how he came down and dwelt in that son at the River Jordan, how he left him in Gethsemane to die as a mortal, that father-son relationship that he established with his firstborn son, and how he wants to establish that same relationship with all his sons. We've been participating in this relationship for many years now. Now, we could spend an entire sermon on just Revelation 10, 1 through 7. And we could take it and place it all through the Old Testament and the New Testament. But to save time, we're going to focus this morning on just one point here, and that is what John said will take place after this descent from heaven and the mystery of God is revealed. So, let's just read again before we take our thoughts to the text this morning. Now, notice. And the angel, verse 5, and the angel, which is the mighty messenger of God, God himself, which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. Now that is God himself, and he only swears by himself, as the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews 6:16, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, which means the unchangeability of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath. So, God, who cannot lie, confirms his covenant. So what is this angel doing when he swears by him that lives forever and ever? What is he doing? He's confirming his promise. The God who made the promises has come down to ensure the promises, just like he did with Abraham and Sarah. So God, who cannot lie, then confirms his covenant, which is his word, by bringing it to pass. God interpreting his word by bringing it to pass. As Brother Branham said, all the denominations, you know, they can read the same Bible that you're reading, but they can't see the manifestation of it. That's for his elect only. Then we read on. Who created the heavens and the things that are therein, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and the things that are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, earthly messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophet. Isn't it interesting that the mysteries are finished at the same time? Now, we move into time being no more. What does that mean? What does it mean we are at the end of time? We're at the end of days. What exactly does that mean to you? So once God confirms his oath, his word, his covenant, he does so by bringing it to pass. Then there should be time no more. As Brother Brown said, God said, let there be light. And you know what? It might have been a million, billion, trillion years, but there was light. God said a virgin will conceive, and what happened 700 years later? A virgin conceived. You see, God's not a subject of time. We are. So what does that mean? Time shall be no more. And what happens as a result of time no longer being delayed? Well, the NIV states it this way, and he swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and all that is in them, the earth and all that is in it, and the sea and all that is in it, and said, there will be no more delay. The expanded Bible says there will be no more waiting, delay, or time. The voice translation says time has run out, and the mystery of God will be accomplished. What does that mean to be accomplished? Fulfilled. Manifested. God interprets his word by doing what? Manifesting it. And the Message Bible says, then the angel I saw astride, sea and land, lifted his right hand to heaven, and swore by the one living forever and ever, who created heaven and everything in it, earth and everything in it, sea and everything in it, that time was up. That when the seventh angel blew his trumpet, which he was about to do, the mystery of God, all the plans that he had revealed to his servants, the prophets, would be completed. We are looking at the completion of it all. So everything runs out at that juncture of time. And what does that mean? From his sermon, How Can I Overcome? Brother Brown says, for we believe that the hour is getting late, the sun is swiftly sinking in the west, then it'll soon be that time shall be no more. I should have put that in red because that's scripture he's quoting. And time and eternity will blend together when? When is it going to happen? When God and his people blends together. You see how important the word is? He is the word. And when you receive his word, you're receiving his spirit into you. Jesus said, my words are spirit in their life. Time and eternity will blend together when God and his people blends together. And we pray, God, that at that time, that we will be numbered among those that will be blended into Christ, that's called his bride. Hallelujah. My goodness, we are living in such a tremendous time, brother, sister. The whole world is looking at this, you know, do I get jabbed or do I not get jabbed? You know, do I do this or do I not do this? And they're in fear. They're living in fear. You know, listen to that sermon 2 weeks ago on love casts out fear. You see, if we have a God who's our buckler and our shield, he's our protector. What do you fear? A little teeny virus that you can't even see with your eyes? When the angel of the Lord, when God has commanded those viruses not to touch the elect of God, go to Zechariah. You'll find God said, don't touch them. And if people are afraid of a little cold / SARS, which is a flu, what are they going to do when Ebola comes forth? Because it's going to. They've already weaponized Ebola. And in Zechariah 14 and 12, it tells us what happens. And that's going to come when they come against Israel. That's when that Ebola comes. All right? Now, so we're looking at the juncture when time ceases, as we know it, and eternity begins. And he says that time and eternity at that time will blend together when God and his people blends together. And we know that God is the Word. Oh my. We're getting so close, my brothers and sisters. I feel that in 2020 something happened back there in January 2020 before the plagues began to fall. We spoke on knowing this message by the Word and showed how Brother Branham said in the unveiling of God that they can read the same Word as we can, but they cannot see it manifest. And since then, we are seeing that Word of God being made manifest almost every day in headlines and everything else throughout the world. Just coming to pass exactly as he said it in his word. And as Brother Graham said in his sermon, Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy, he said, dear God, we realize that Jesus Christ is in our midst. We know that he is here. He is here tonight. The invisible God is here with us and can confirm every promise that he made in his word. How you have stood and proved to them with backs turned in the original beginning before the impersonators even entered the ring, Lord, or entered into the race as it was. You showed and proved and prophesied and told exactly the way it would happen. And we see it happening that way. And Father God, we know it cannot be man. It has to be God. So we know it's you here tonight. Forgive us of our sins, dear Lord. Dear God. January, the first week, second week of January, the Holy Spirit impressed upon me in 2020 to re-preach something I preached in 1997 on the end time plagues and the end time depression judgment. 2 weeks later, that plague comes to America. 2 weeks. Now, I believe in the reality of a living God who leads us, because sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and he leads us by revelation. It is interesting to see, and also in that same sermon, this is back in January, I think it's either the 19th or the 9th, I don't remember. But I went into the book of Daniel and showed you how before you can get to that reset that they're talking about, something had to happen. And this king rises up. He's narcissistic. You know, he's kind of likes people to talk about him. But he accomplishes a lot. And the Bible tells us that he increases manufacturing by his policies. And he goes against the elites. He goes against the Bible didn't call them elites. It called them the mighty men. And also called them, and the people of God, which are the Wall Street Jews, the Jew. And he went against them and started building this country up. But I remember saying, and it's on the tape, you can go back and watch it. I said, but something's going to happen to Trump. And I said, he comes up against the Prince of Princes, which Brother Ram told us was the Pope. And of course, that's correct because the cardinals are called the princes of the church. And when the cardinals elect a prince, one of their own, he now becomes the prince of the princes. And it says in Daniel that this one will come up against the Prince of Princes, and then he will be broken without hand. Now, without hand, if it was by his own hand, that'd be by his own, he did it to himself, but he'd be broken without hand. And I said, now, something's going to happen after he goes up against the Pope. Something's going to happen to him. I don't know what it is, but he'll be broken. His reign will be ended. And 11 months later, the Vatican used their 3 satellites to intercept the votes, sent them to Germany where the CIA changed those votes, sent them back, and it was done. And the man was broken without hand. Now tell me that isn't God who's leading his children. That's an end-time event, brother, sister. But from the token, Brother Branham says, Lord Jesus, they're in your hands now. May the token that is Jesus is not dead, the token that Jesus raised from the dead and is here tonight, he is a token of his resurrection. He himself is the Word. He is here to confirm everything he said. He's here to confirm every promise that he made. Notice. He is here for what? Like Brother Branham said, I don't remember the name of the sermon, but he said he's here for one purpose, and that's to release our desires that we have in him back to us. He said he's here. God who made the Word is here to confirm it. He himself is the Word. He is here to confirm everything he said. He's here to confirm every promise that he made. If the people could just only see it once, Lord, that it isn't something that we could guess about. It's something that we must know, Lord. There's no try over. You can't go back and try again. It must be done now. We only have one shot at this end time, brother, sister. Either to stand with God and his word, or to take the jab and die. Because that's what's going to happen to those people. And again, in this sermon, Influence, he said, remember the last thing that taken place before Sodom was burned. The Lord was manifested in human flesh. Now, he was a man. He ate meat, and he drank the milk of a cow, and he ate bread, cornbread, and ate the calf of a cow, and and stood there and eat. And yet Abraham, who talked to him, said that it was the Almighty God in human flesh. Yes. He was showing an example of what he was going to do in the last days. Jesus referred back to it and watched the ministry that he did. The first thing he referred back to his promise. Do you see the theology side of it? He said, I made you a promise. Now I'm here to confirm it. And now how we know that promises go, watch that. They were waiting just before the fire fell. Abraham and Sarah was waiting for a promised son. God appeared in human flesh and done signs before them that Jesus referred to would be the same thing at his coming that he and the son promised. And we've noticed that now for going on 15 years and still the church gets worse. No wonder we can actually see that we're in the Laodicea age. Now, notice when God made the promise, it was through a vision or God, you know, speaking. Abraham heard the talk, but that was like 25 years earlier. So God comes on the scene in the veil of the vessel of a man. And God says, within a year or in a year from now, I will return unto you the time of life. Most people say, well, in a year from now, I'm going to return to you. That's not what he said. I will return unto you the time of life. And so Abraham and Sarah, God did something. He changed the body like he's going to do ours at the resurrection. And isn't it strange that Sarah being 90 years old, Abraham being 100 years old, just having met God in the flesh, they go down to Gerar country near Egypt, and the king lusts after this 90-year-old woman. A king, a young man, lusting after a 90-year-old woman. God had returned them to the time of life. You see? Hallelujah. It's a prefigure, brother, sister, of what's going to happen to us in this hour. Oh, my. And in the sermon, Jesus Christ the same, Brother Bram says, now you know he's here, he made the promise, and if he'll stand out here before the people and confirm it and prove it that it is, then you believe it with all your heart. Now, he's already done that. See, what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is he promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The world, everything about it, time will be no more. When is that going to happen? We'll find out. But what happens to get you to that point? That's the time when everything ends. I want you to think about that. Because we'll start to get into that, and then we'll go into that next Sunday for two services. He said, it's over. It's finished. The God that made the promise is here to confirm the promise. Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And the God that sent him was with him and in him. And he said, if I don't do his works, don't believe me. And if I'm not telling you the truth, he won't back it up. But the God that sent forth his disciples has sent this move of God into the land. He's with it to prove that he's with us, with it. The very signs that was promised are vindicating his presence. We're in the presence of Jesus Christ. And from his sermon, from that time on, Brother Ram said, the main thing that we try to do is to let the people see that Christ is not dead, that he's alive. And if we can just see the one who made us all of these grand promises is here to confirm those promises. You're not going through this alone. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. You know the song? Because it's here. As God lifted up Noah over the judgments, his presence is here to do the same for you, to take you out in a rapture. So when God begins to bring to pass all of his promises that he's made to his children for the last days, when we see the interpretation of these promises come to pass, then we'll know it's all over and time has become no more delayed. Again in his sermon, is this the sign of the time, sir? He said, where are we at, sirs? What's all of this about? I'm asking you. The other angels were messengers, men of the earth, but this angel. This said to the angel of the church of Laodicea, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, messengers of the earth, see, men, messengers, prophets, and so forth to the church. But this one didn't come from the earth, he come down from heaven. Because the mystery is all finished. And when the mystery is finished, the angel says, this time, the time shall be no more. And seven thunders throw their voices out. What if it is something to let us know how to enter into that rapturing faith? Is it? Will we run and leap over walls? Is there something fixing to happen? Are these old, marred, vile bodies are going to be changed? Can I live to see it, Lord? It is so close that I'll see it. Is this generation, sirs, my brethren, what time is it? Where are we at? And from his sermon super sign, he said, I pray for these ministers, their churches, their peoples. God, may their little churches grow until it spreads out. And may out of their churches go mighty evangelists and missionaries to all the world. And let us work, Lord, for we know that we haven't much time to work. We see time closing in. Soon we're looking for the angel that will set his foot on the land and sea and raise up his hand and swear by him that lives forever and ever, time shall be no more. Said at that time, the mystery of God should be finished. And we understand now, Father, that God's threefold mystery has been made known to us, and we understand. And we're looking now for those mysterious thunders that came out from heaven in the book of Revelation that was sealed on the back side of the book. Now, so then what is this threefold mystery of God that Brother Bram's talking about here? Well, from Christ is the mystery of God revealed, he says, now, that's when he can express the preeminences, you see. He's got the man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean? All right, that's secondly. First, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Then second, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, his bride. He could have the preeminence to express himself through them. All right, and thirdly, to restore the kingdom to its rightly positioned that fell by sin and by the first Adam, back to where he walked in the cool of the evening with his people, talked with them, fellowshiped with them, and now sin and death has separated them from his presence and his entire expression. Well, when's the third part going to be? Millennium. That's where he takes us. So that he can be our God and we be his people. He'll talk with us, walk with us. Now, so how does he restore us to his presence? We can't call him down and we certainly can't go to where he's at. So he does it himself by coming down himself with a shout. His great parousia presence is here to restore. I shall restore, saith the Lord. I shall restore, saith the Lord. In a sermon, Revelation chapter 5, Brother Brown tells us the seventh and last one of these seals, when they're opened, is found in Revelation the 10th chapter. There was a mighty angel, which was Christ, come down and put one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, and raised it up his hand and says, the day is finished. The time has run out. It's all over. Time shall be no more. And he said, at this time, the mystery of God should be finished, who God is and how he was made manifest. And when the seal was opened, how we begin to understand now how that he was the Son of God. He was God himself made flesh. And the revelation of who he is, that should be finished before this angel can put his feet upon the land and the sea and swear that there will be time no more when this time comes. We're right in the front yard of it right now. See, the last one of them is Revelation 10, foot on land and sea. Time had run out. Redemption is over. Now he comes in as a lion. He was a lamb then. Now he comes in as a lion of the tribe of Judah. And from his sermon, Watchman, What of the Night, he said, what if a man sit here with a long white robe on and hair hanging way down like this? And he might have not looked like that, but that's just what the artist painted of a picture of it. And he might looked altogether different from that, but what if he stood here and had nail prints in his hands, prints of scars in his forehead, and stood here and said he was the Lord Jesus? You know, right quick, I tell you, he was wrong. That's exactly right. When Jesus comes, time shall be no more. That's right. It could not be the Lord, but then if he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, how could he be here? In the form of the Spirit, where he sanctified us, to move into us and to perform his works through us, cause that's is agents. The works that I do shall you do also. Is that right? Now, we might declare him, he might declare himself. How would he declare himself? Then to know that he was the same Jesus, because that it would he'd be able to do the same work that he did before he was crucified, and that was that he did what the Father showed him. So Brother Branham is letting us know, you know, the world is looking for Jesus to appear with nail scars in his hands, and they see him coming down the clouds, you know, like a super huge Jesus, like the touchdown Jesus over on Highway 75, you know. And it's not going to be that way. He's appeared already. The second coming is when we go to meet the Son in the air or that higher dimension. But God himself has come down. Look, the Father of glory came down before the arrival of the promised Son to Abraham and Sarah. The Father always comes before the Son. That's just the way, that's just the facts of life. You've got to have a Father before you can have a Son. All right. Now, from "It Is I, Be Not Afraid," he said, "Christ has always healed every one of you." Christ has already healed every one of you. You've been healed for 1,900 years since he was wounded for our transgressions, and with his stripes we were healed. And if he was standing here tonight in a corporal body, that body is sitting at the right hand of God Almighty. When it comes back, time shall be no more. There'll be a rapture, and the church will go up to meet him and be with him. We'll meet the Lord in the air when he comes back. See, that's why in Revelation 10, it says, after the mystery of God is completed, then time shall be no more. That portion, the mysteries of God, have already been completed. When Jesus, the Son of God, comes, that's when time shall be no more. There's nothing left at the time. So between now and then, what is happening? We're seeing everything becoming no more. Faith. When I return, shall I find faith? Faith is ebbing away. The Word of God in the population is ebbing away. Prayer in the schools, it's gone. You see, all of these things, they're gone, or they're on their way out. They closed down the churches all across the country. In Canada, you can't even still go to church. Many countries around the world, you still can't go to church. What are they doing? They're trying to do away with Christianity. They're trying to do away with a personal relationship with God. Now, that body sitting at the right hand of God, when it comes back, time shall be no more. There'll be a rapture, and the church will go up to meet him and be with him. We'll meet the Lord in the air when he comes. His coming will be as a lightning that shineth from the east unto the west. So shall be his coming, and every eye shall see him. But his Holy Spirit is here. Since the days of Luther, they lived under justification. The days of Wesley, they come a little higher. The church become in the minority under sanctification. Then come in the Pentecostal move, which was the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the restoration of the gifts. Now we're going just in above that for the capstone. The church has got to be like that. The spirit in the church and the spirit that's in him has got to be the same. See, now we could take that and go right back to the beginning quote where Brother Branham says that, you know, when we get to the place of time shall be no more, he said, the bride and the groom are so united that it's over. The restoration is completed. From Baal of Gilead, Baal of Gilead, he said, and finally at the end of the journey, and when time shall be no more, and blend into eternity, that's what he said. Remember, we read the quote, he says, when time blends into eternity is when the bride and the Word blend together. When the bride and God have blended together. And when time shall be no more and blend into eternity, may we meet at thy throne as unbroken families. Hallelujah. Unbroken families. Singing the redemption song, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, from the watchman of What of the Night, Brother Branham says, and as I watched them set their dramas, and I thought, oh, we are standing way yonder on the tower far above anything in this world, and we're watching two of the greatest things, the running out of time and the coming of the Lord. Soon time shall be no more, there will be time no more, and the coming of the Lord. And the Antichrist, he has his subjects sitting there. He has a communism. He has a different isms. He has churchism and Catholicism and Protestantism. He has everything set to make a great show. But I'm so glad that there's a Father in heaven who has his characters set too for this great drama. When the Antichrist takes them into the decease of everything, even time, God is ready in his drama to lift his church into eternity, into the blissful realms of the eternal God himself. When these old vile bodies will be changed and made like unto his glorious body, and this corruption shall take on immortality, and in his likeness we will stand forever. So the one thing I want to focus right here is when the Antichrist takes him into his decease of everything. You say decease or decrease. Decrease only means it's going down, but it doesn't end. Decease means it's just gone. Decease of everything is what he said. I want you to pay attention to what he said there. Therefore, we see the stage is already set. And we are actually looking at the great predestined drama as it is unfolding. We are watching Satan and his system is getting all set up. His subjects are coming into manifestation of what they truly are about, Satan worship, and it is all on display, and they are no longer shying away from it. And notice his words, when the Antichrist takes them into this decease of everything, even of time, or even the time, and we are now beholding the great drama as no other time in history of mankind has seen what we are seeing today, but never forget, God has his actors, he has his characters also, who have his mind, who have received his word and his doxa, and are now set in place for the final showdown. And I'll say one more thing, who have also eternal life. Eternal life cannot decease. Okay. So what's happening? Satan's Eden, in full view, cannot bring life. It has to bring decease of everything. And they finally have all their players set up around the world as the leaders of those countries to bring about a decease of everything until there's nothing left but death. And then time will be no more. As Brother Branham said, when the Antichrist takes them into this decease of everything, even to time, so I want to speak a few minutes in closing to show you that this decease of everything has already begun. And soon time will be no longer delayed. And he who now letteth will no longer let when he takes us up from the midst of humanity. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now, here is a quote from Brother Branham from the first seal. Notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings. That's right. See? Now, let's find this in Scripture, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, this may sound a little confusing to you, but so let me just read it from the Weiss translation. You'll find the same thing Brother Branham is telling us in this quote, that the Holy Ghost who is now in our midst will at this time leave the earth. The Weiss translation says, Do you not remember that while I was with you, while I was still with you, I kept on telling you these things. And now you know with a positive assurance that which, namely, the departure of the church, the saints being assembled to the Lord, is preventing his being disclosed as to his true identity. Preventing who? The mystery of iniquity. In his strategic appointed time, for the mystery of the aforementioned lawlessness is now operating, only he, the Holy Spirit, who is holding the lawlessness down, will do so until he goes out from the midst of humanity, and then shall the lawless one be disclosed in his true identity. So we see here that this scripture first speaks first of the saints assembling to the Lord, and then it speaks of their departure from the earth. then as if in the same breath, Paul also tells us that this will happen when the Holy Spirit departs from the midst of humanity. Then you see the things that are deceasing now suddenly come to an end. Now, the Holy Spirit could not depart from the midst of humanity if you were not here to depart from. And if we are to be gathered together to Him first, then when He goes, we go, for nowhere in Scripture does it speak contrary to this. Nowhere in Scripture does it speak that the Lord leaving at a different time from the earth than the saints leave. So if we are gathered together unto Him first, then it is He that takes us up from the midst of humanity, just like when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain. The Bible says He lifted them up. Okay? I don't think Jesus actually grabbed them with His arms. I think they were transported up somehow. Just like when Philip was on the chariot talking to the Ethiopian eunuch, and then he went and baptized him, and immediately after he baptized him, the eunuch looked around. Where'd he go? And the Bible says that Philip was, all of a sudden, he was over preaching in a revival. Now, he said in a sermon, life, I'm not asking you to come join a church. I'm asking you to come and receive Christ while His presence is here. What more could He do? If He healed the sick, still wouldn't be as great as this. He does heal the sick. He couldn't appear in a visible body because when He does, time shall be no more then. But He's here in His church showing you that He's raised from the dead, trying to get you to come, accept as your risen Lord. Once more now, while we sing, oh, why not tonight? All right. Oh, why not tonight, church? Remember, church member, sinner, why don't you come? Remember, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I'm offering you Christ. If I never see you again till the judgment, this is your time. And when the rainbows are sweeping through the skies, fires are falling, the Sputniks has done dropped their bombs and the handwriting's on the wall, time shall be no more. There'll be one split second, there'll be millions times millions in the New England states that's not here will be swept into eternity without a chance. Remember, he who speaks tonight, the Spirit knows what's the truth. And from his sermon, look, what's going to happen? Just as the bride is transformed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, taken up, Brother Brown said, before one missile strikes this land, because the seventh vision showed this land was totally desecrated. After when? After a female becomes either president or vice president, as the vision showed, wearing a purple dress back in 1933. That vision is fulfilled. Immediately. Now, immediately in God's eyes, I don't know, could be, who knows? All I know is 1,000 years with man is a day with God. So, but I want you to know, we'll get our transformation, they'll get theirs, by atomic blast. And immediately they'll go from this dimension to the other dimension for the judgment. We bypass the judgment. You know, the Scripture, we have a promise from Jesus, you know, that we shall not come into the judgment. He that believeth in me shall not come into the judgment, He said. Now, we believe that Christ died and rose. You believe that? I believe the Bible teaches that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe that? Then, if He is the same, He's got to be everything the same except the corporal body. Now, that body, when it comes, time shall be no more. How many knows that? Yes, when Jesus comes in His literal body, but He come now in the form of the Holy Ghost, and He lives in His church. And He said, "We are the branches, and He's the vine." He just stands in us in spirit manner and feeds the gifts of the church. And how many knows that? And He said, the things that I do shall you do also. Did He say that? What did He do? He never claimed to be a healer. How many knows that Jesus never claimed to be a healer, all right? Jesus said, it's not me that doeth the works, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. He said, I can do nothing except my Father show me first. How many knows that that's right? All right, and then from the beginning and ending of the Gentile dispensation, He quotes Daniel. He says, but thou, Daniel, shut up the book, or shut up the words, and seal the book even to the time of the end. For many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, beheld and looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and one on the other side of the bank of the river. And the one said to the man clothed in linen, Holy Spirit, which was upon the waters, peoples and multitudes, Holy Ghost upon the people. Oh, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost, Revelation 15:16, said that the thickness of multitudes in the water means thickness of multitudes of people. And here's one in white linen, waving himself up and down upon the waters with his hand up to heaven, swore by him that lives forever and ever, when these things happen, that time shall be no more. Hallelujah. Time shall be no more. He swore. That when we see these nations breaking and things taking place like that, the mystery of God's already accomplished. So the first thing to end is there is no more mysteries. And the prophet then went off the scene. Now, since that time, we've been seeing things take place. Remember, Brother Bram said, I believe that by 1977, he said that the world system as we know it will be no more. What happened in 71? The gold standard that held all the world currencies together. Nixon cut that string. And now it's been fiat money. It's been floating, and the nations are going into hyperinflation. I saw a picture the other day of a whole pallet of about the size of, you know, about the size of this, like this, but about that tall, of currency for one roll of toilet paper in Venezuela. Zimbabwe, you know, that's neighboring country from where you're at. I've got a $3 billion $500 billion Zimbabwe note. And I was told by the locals there that you couldn't buy three eggs with it. $500 billion. And they used to be tied to the U.S. dollar when it was Rhodesia. So, everything's time of the deceasing. Now look at, he is showing the nations are breaking up. That means they are coming to an end. In fact, everything is coming to an end. I think this will be a good place to ask the next question, because the scripture speaks of a time when the mighty messenger comes, and after he has disclosed the mystery of God to the seventh church age messenger, he tells us within the shout that time is coming to an end. He also told us that nations are coming to an end and many other things are coming to an end, because we are coming to the end of all things. I want you to just stop for a moment and think to yourself, what does it mean to be at the end time? The end of what? And end of time, and the time shall be no more. Time blending with eternity, and soon time will be a thing of the past, and it will be no more. Are we actually watching the end of all things? Is this why Brother Bram said if we could choose any time to live in history, he would have chosen to live in this time? Because God promised it, that it would all come to an end, and we're alive to actually see the manifestation of what God said and watch the God's spoken word become a reality. This has got to be just as great as it was when the Son of God, before the foundations of the world, was with the Father and actually watched God bring all things into existence. And now we, sons of God, are watching all things go out of existence. Now we're sitting and watching it unravel away, nothing before our very eyes. So everything must come to an end, and finally the end of the world as we know it. One of the things we are seeing the end of, is we are seeing the end of religious freedom. Why? Because they shut down the churches worldwide for the past year, and the doors have been shut, and it looks like it must have been in the days of Noah, when God shut the door and no one else could come into the ark. We see shutdowns of churches all over the world making way for a one world religion. What else do we see coming to an end? Revelation 15:7, we read. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. So we're watching the end of the world's economic system, its way of life, and we're seeing the beginning of the economic crash that will be so big it will make the Great Depression look like a Sunday school picnic in comparison. It's been promised, and we're seeing it coming to pass. The scripture tells us in the book of Revelation that the people will not be able to buy or sell unless they voluntarily accept the beast system, and they are doing it all over the world willingly, and people drinking the Kool-Aid of death willingly. And notice we read the scripture here. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. And we know, as you saw when we preached on the end time depression and end time judgments, we broke down, made a chart of the seven church ages, when they began, who the messenger was, what the message was, that time of mercy, and then at the end, when the people of that generation rejected that message, God sent a temporary judgment, and we see that the seven angels had seven golden vials full of the wrath of God. And we saw how each one came. We saw what that plague was for that specific age and how it came. Now, Deuteronomy 28:43, God said, "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be thy head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded this day." We're watching the unrolling, brother, sister, of a worldwide depression, and the stranger, you know, these world bankers controlling it all. But the Vatican will control them in the utmost in the tribulation period. But we're watching the economy crumble into a worldwide indenture, where each nation has become so insanely in debt that it will never get out from under it. I could give you many scriptures and quotes from our prophet, but I've already done that in 1997 when I spoke on the oncoming storms of judgment and the Great Depression judgment. The Holy Spirit again told me to preach that in 2020 January, before the plagues begin to materialize concerning the COVID, SARS, etc. But God promised it, and he is here to make sure it comes to pass. But he also promised that there would be an elect bride who would be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, who would manifest his sons, who would be filled with the spirit of adoption. He promised that. He's here to confirm that as well. Blessings and cursings, Deuteronomy. Two laws. We're also watching the end of healthy food, which is non-GMO food. And the world's food supplies have taken over by the likes of the Monsantos and other big pharmaceutical companies. Bill Gates now is buying up as much farmland as he can. He's the number one, I guess, purchaser of farmlands over the past few years. What's he going to do with it? Make computer chips? It's going to just keep you from being able to eat. His whole agenda, brother, sister, is depopulation. His father was the head of the Planned Parenthood in America back when he was a kid. It's ingrained in his psyche. Too many people. Again, we read the promises in Deuteronomy 20:46, the promise that it would come to that when people turned away from the voice of God, and we're actually watching in fulfillment today. Now, Brother Bram told us in 56 that America and the world turned down the message. Well, that message is the shout, the midnight cry. And to turn down the voice of God brings on the plagues. And so God promised them in Deuteronomy 28, in verse 46, and we're seeing them fulfilled as he promised. "And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. And the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the persons of old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle." Well, they're eating your meat. All right? "And the fruit of your land," they're eating it, "until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thine kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates until the high and fenced walls come down wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, and the flesh of thy sons and thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee in the siege and in the straitness within wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee. And you know, this was partially fulfilled in Jerusalem when they ended up eating their own children under the siege from the Romans. But we're going to see it again in this hour. And the lack of healthy food will produce a people whose immune systems are so weak that when God sends plagues, they will have nothing in themselves to ward off the diseases. And so we'll see the end of healthy bodies. End of healthy food, end of healthy water, end of healthy air, end of healthy bodies, end of health. End of health care. Let's face it, when they got when the MDs are taking money and calling a person that died with the flu and calling it COVID so they can get another $20,000, it's the end of honest medicine. In Deuteronomy 28:18, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, no health in your bodies, only sickness and death, and the fruit of thy land, everything is GMO and cursed, even the animals that you eat to live will be filled with cancer because they're hybrids. The increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. And the Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee, until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and of mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And with poor health the people will not call on God for healing, but for pharmacies, which he calls, it's from the Greek word sorceries. And so they will place their trust in sorcery rather than in the God who promised to heal all thy diseases. We read in Revelation 22:15, for without, out of the kingdom of God, for without are dogs, that's male prostitutes, men who sell themselves, like we call them prostitutes, because in the press they all sell themselves for the highest bidder. And sorcerers, you know what that is? Pharmacists, pharmacia. And whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And the word sorcerers is translated from the Greek word pharmakos, where we get our word pharmacist from. And we're seeing the end of pure and healthy water as well. Isn't it interesting that we have a conjuncture between the medical profession that has sworn an oath not to do anything that would hurt or cripple their patients, but we have a tie with them and the pharmakos, the sorcerers, those who are using chemical agents to harm and maim the people. In the book of Revelation, Revelation 16:3, we see that water, he says, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of dead men, and every living soul died in the sea. Revelation 16:4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Revelation 8:11, and the name of the scar is called wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the water because they were made bitter. Now, wormwood is also, I think, it's a plant, and it's also a very poisonous plant. Now, as I said earlier, we preached on the oncoming germ warfare back in 97, again in 2020, January, warning of the plagues and the Great Depression that's coming. And so in Revelation 17:1, we see the promise that each messenger to each of the seven church ages will not only have a trumpet to call forth the message in their day, but will also have a vial for those who reject the message. And there came one of the seven angels. Now this is, we already read that where all seven got a vial, but now Revelation 17:1. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials. And he talked to me, saying, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, back in 97, when I did this study, I made a chart of the church ages and showed how each messenger brought a message of mercy. And when it was refused, God sent plagues as temporary judgment. But at the end time, the seventh angel will have seven vials, because the judgment in this hour will be seven times greater than all the other ages, because we have the restoration of all seven ages made known to us, and to refuse it to refuse it all, seven plagues will come. Revelation 21:9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, come thither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So just as the seventh messenger came with seven trumpets to restore the seven church ages, those things which were revealed in each age and then were rejected, when they were revealed in each age, that messenger had a trumpet, but he also had a vial. Trumpet, vial, trumpet, vial, trumpet, vial, trumpet, vial. And at the end time comes the seven trumpets, seven mysteries of God, and seven vials. We just read it right here. This angel brings seven vials because he is the seventh angel of the seventh age, where in all the mysteries of God that were rejected and laid aside during the seven church ages are brought forth again and restored, but also rejected once again in the seventh last age. We've seen the angel come, and we know the promises for the vials to be unleashed upon the people, and so we wait to see the fulfillment of this promise of God. But remember, we shall see it with our eyes, only we as God's elect will not partake of it. What a promise. We read that in, Brother Justin read it to you before the service from Psalm. In fact, I think we're going to read it now. He that dwells in the secret of the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, what's the secret place of the Most High? It's in His presence. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. We don't trust in a COVID vaccine. We trust that God, who promised to watch over us, is here to bring that to pass just the same as He said. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare, the trap, the entanglement of the entangler, who has set a trap for you, and from the deadly plagues. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His what? His truth, His word, shall be thy shield and buckler. That's for your protection. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the plagues that spreadeth in darkness, nor for the destruction that devastates at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's a promise from God. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold it. We see it on the YouTube and everything else. You see all the different things, you know, going on around the world. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold it and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Who's the dragon? Of course, we know the throne. We know China's also the red dragon. You know, who's the lion? Well, we know Britain is identified with the lion. You know, so honestly, I just see all this stuff that they're doing. You know, it's just taking away all the personal freedoms that people have and everything else. And what does he say? The young lion, the dragon, shalt thou trample under thy feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Not a vaccine. In fact, it's not even a vaccine. It's a medical treatment like they did in Nazi Germany. Experimentation. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And then there is the end of pure and healthy air to breathe. We've heard it, and we shall also see this word come into manifestation as well. Revelation 16:17. And the seventh angel, who's that? He poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And as each of the seven plagues come, I want you to be grateful and rejoice because God has given you eyes to see the end of safe health, and you will watch the germ warfare God prophesied to come, but it is commanded to not come and touch you nor into your dwelling. Thus, we're seeing the end of good health, the end of health care. In fact, the end of good health has come when MDs become so greedy for a few more government stimulus money to manufacture a fear among the people, and we know that for a loan can impair your health. I don't have time to go into this, but in my series on the end time neurosis, you see where Jesus taught us not to fear, as Brother Brown told us, that fear causes sickness. And as we preached a couple weeks ago, God has not given you a spirit of fear. So if you got a spirit of fear, it's not from God. It's from the devil. So just tell the devil no. Put it back in his face. We're also seeing the end of safety. For all outside the ark shall perish. Only today our ark is the word of God. When he who now led us will let until he leaves the midst of humanity. And when he does, he takes us with him. We're seeing the end of mercy. For after the people reject God's mercy that came in the form of the message, there's only judgment to follow. And we're seeing that judgments are now in the earth. And from his sermon, Voice of the Sign, Brother Brown tells us, again, the coming of a prophet is a sign. Did you know that? The coming of a prophet to an age is a sign. Now, I don't mean to be a doctor of divinity. I don't mean some loyal pastor, some good person. Them's fine. Them's God's service. But a prophet is a sign. And the Bible says so here. And what's the sign of? It's a sign that his word is fixing to be fulfilled by the voice of this prophet sign. Notice, the coming of a prophet is a warning sign of judgment at hand. Did you know that? Judgment is ready to strike. Again, from his sermon, the Great Coming Revival. In the days when Noah, God said he broke up the springs of the mighty, and it sprung up lots of water and helped destroy the world. And the sign today that he will no more destroy it with water, but will burn it with fire, and the things drying up, getting ready for the burning time, for the judgment time at hand, is at hand. Mercy's been spurned. God's Bible walked over his people called fanatics and everything else under the sun. And the time's come when God's letting down his finger for judgment. Amen. That's right. And from faith delivered to saints. He said, I declare you tonight by the scripture that Jesus Christ has raised from the dead, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe that we're at the end time, and I believe the judgment is at hand. I might be an old-fashioned, might be considered a crank for saying this, but I believe that the coming of Christ is past due. I believe it's way past due because God, like he was in the antediluvian world, he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. O friend of mine, return to Christ. Return with your heart. Return with all that you've got and come to him and say, Lord, say, Lord Jesus, I believe. And from the sermon called out, he said, but I want you to notice Lot and also notice Noah. Before any rain could ever fall, before one drop of moisture come from the oncoming clouds of judgment, as we read last night, I believe truly in the gospel, by the gospel, we see the handwriting on the wall. Anybody, I believe, that was mentally balanced could see that we have just a few hours left, and maybe this is the last one. But before one drop of water judgment fell, Noah went into the ark. And did not Abraham say to the angel, would the judge of all the earth make the innocent suffer with the guilty? Certainly not. The judge of all the earth will be righteous. And notice, before there was even one speck of fire that come from the skies, Lot was taken out of Sodom. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, so will be in the coming of the Son of God. And if the handwriting's on the wall, if the time of judgment is at hand, how close is the rapture of the church? How close is it tonight? Oh my, that just ought to just give you a rapturing faith right there. Knowing that God, who made the promise, he's here to ensure it. You can't work your way into it. It's all by election, predestination. Now, I think I'm going to close at this point, and we're going to pick up next Sunday on the next time of the end time events, which we're seeing all things coming to their end in this last hour of the shout. And next Sunday will also be communion, and we have enough material for a couple more sermons on looking at the end time events that constitute the end. Now, for your homework this week, all right, Make a list of all the things that you can see that are coming to an end. And you'll surprise yourself that you've been watching all these things and yet unaware that they constitute the end of all things. For we are living in the end time, and they can read the same things out of the Bible that you can read, but your eyes have been opened, and you can see the actual manifestation of those things of God coming into a reality before your very eyes. And that is so tremendous. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we want to thank you because truly, Lord, you have opened our eyes to see. And Lord, we recognize that this is the end time. And all of these events and signs and events of the end time have to be, they have to decease until there's nothing left. And then there's nothing left and time will be no more. And so, Father, we're at that time, that juncture, where we're seeing everything unraveling, everything falling apart, the world falling apart, everything. So, Lord, we're just thankful that during all of this, during the time of the plagues in Egypt, Goshen, you put a hedge around Goshen, and the plagues did not enter Goshen. And I believe you put a hedge around your children, just like you put a hedge around Job. And you're watching over us and protecting us, Father. And I ask that you continue to bless us, and may you keep us in the palm of your hand, in your presence, and by your presence, and in your wonderful name we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song together, Open My Eyes That I Might See. Steve, could you hand me our songbook there? Does anybody know by chance what that song number is?